how are you doing today?
We're doing well.
We are as well, and we trust that the rubber is supporting you and everything is going great down there in terms of the rubber.
Oh, yeah. We have the first two here, and then I guess the third one was a telephonic at another unit, and they will see you at 12:30 after that.
Okay, so we'll do these, and then we come back to you at 12:30.
Yeah, you know, after the first two, we'll have one at, I think, Manzanita. It's a telephonic.
Okay. Okay, well, we will find them, and who do we have, who do you have for us right now, sir?
Clay.
Okay, so we're on the same page, so we'll be ready for this, we can pass the phone on to him at this time, sir. We're going in, sir, just hold on, Mr. Clay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting your hearing, but before he gets started, we have to make some phone calls, he will be making some phone calls, so just hold on, sir.
W-E-I-S as in Sam, B as in Boye, E-R-G.
Okay, thank you, sir. If you would just hold on a minute, we have two other people on the line. I want to make sure we have everybody on the line, okay?
Sure, honey.
Okay. All right, Mr. McLaurin?
Yes.
You still on the line? Ms. McLaurin, you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
And Mr. Weisberg, are you still on the line?
I am still on the line.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, we're about to begin the hearing, and as I indicated before we started, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as the lead for this hearing, so he will begin the hearing in just a moment. So just hold on, as soon as he can get his microphone and get all hooked up, he'll be ready to go.
Good afternoon, sir. Could you just please state your full name and ABC number for us for the record? Okay. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I am brought in addition to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead this morning, okay?
Good morning.
So you've been before the board for absolute discharge of parole in the next consecutive sentence. Is that about right with you, sir? You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. I can't hear you. You're going to have to speak up a little bit louder, sir.
You think that this is possible to serve in the right direction?
I don't understand what you're saying. I can't. I'm not making out what you're saying. Did anybody ask something?
Can you hear me again?
I can hear you, but it's still mumbled a little, but muffled. Maybe.
I have a section of the voice. I must be hearing you as a kid, so I don't know if I'm the other one. Can you hear me this morning?
I can hear you now. Go ahead and say what you were saying.
Okay. We were saying about our last discharge to the second chamber, and I was just continuing to surprise the second one of the regions here.
Okay, all right. Okay, sir. So you're currently serving a life sentence for first degree murder. You came to El Paso on September 21st, 2016. In parole to your next consecutive sentence, it would be a parole to a 12-year sentence for attempted to commit murder in the first degree. Is that about right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it looks like that you have one expired, you have already served an expired 9-year term for aggravated assault. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it looks like that as part of your process in your court appeals that in April 94 you had an appeal to the Arizona Court of Appeals with the conviction was confirmed, and then it looks like in April of 97 you appealed to the U.S. District Court where habeas corpus and jury miscontact, and that was also upheld at that time. You do have in your institutional progress reports that states that inmates plans to release to his mother and not live in a halfway house. States that you have been accepted into the reborn assistance. The address of the halfway house is 2546 West Orangewood, Kings, Arizona. You plan to work in waste management and or construction. Also stated that when your father passed away, there was some money left for him, and that will hold you up until you get situated with a job and your family will assist you, that you're willing to program and have any counseling recommended. States that you plan to be a productive member of society, pay your taxes, or volunteer at any youth facility. Hope to help the youth make a better choice so they don't end up in prison. You haven't had your last, you do have kind of a minimal amount of time that you've been incarcerated. received citations, but the last one he received was in 2013 for was an obstruction. It was a major, and he was found guilty of it. What was that about, sir? Can you tell me what that was about?
I was serving the
So basically you were doing some soldering and you had a lighter, and instead of being caught with the lighter, correct me if I'm just trying to repeat what you told me so I can make sure I'm clear. But you had the lighter, the officer came by, wanted to search your cell, you ran and flushed it down the toilet so that you wouldn't get caught with the lighter, but you said that you would get in more trouble if you had the lighter as opposed to not having the lighter, is that right?
Yes, you would have took my business and everything for a while. Just for a record, I don't get over something, I'm done with all that.
You cut that business loose, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm the trusted hand, I'm the trusted position, I would consider the control brothers or the officers were. I fix the electricity, I put them in the doors, I go in the administration buildings. And I become more of a better part of my environment rather than me.
Okay, so you have appeared before this board before. I see that in 1995 you appeared before the board for a special hearing that was not recommended to the governor. In 2016, you appeared before this board for 12B, absolute discharge, or parole to your next consecutive sentence. And you appeared in July of 17, which was your last appearance before this board. And it was also to be parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. On both of those, they were denied. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I do see in here, I do have your release plan that you have included in the packet that you hear. You have done quite a bit of programming since you've been incarcerated. I do acknowledge and see that those things are included here. In your file, I'm going to go over some of the information in the court file, a pre-sent report that we have, which basically states that that your life had been to second weeks and you had been there and was drinking pretty heavily. An altercation occurred between the McLaurins and Mahoney. It's now as a result, the individual in McLaurin was able to grab Mahoney's arm and was dragged from a short distance down the road. After that occurred, an unidentified individual tried to run through and do money. And then it says that as we dropped down Mahoney and Clay, we got down to a club and we're driving around the River Valley area trying to find the guys that we had the altercation with. He located the McDonald's residence, pulled up to the house, and the verbal altercation issue between Mahoney and Adam McLaurin. And at that time, Mahoney started saying he grabbed Adam McLaurin's shirt. Before he knew it, he saw a gun coming on his shoulder. Over his right shoulder. At which time the two McLaurins took out running. It says that as they were running, that you started to shoot him. Said that he heard at least 5 shots or 6 times, and it just kept coming. And after that, you guys left after saw Adam McLaurin crawling through a screen door. That's when you guys drove off. One of the victims wound up dying as a result. The other one had a serious injury. So what was going on? Is that about what happened? Can you tell us in your own words what exactly occurred during that period of time, sir?
First of all, the council's decision was announced by the fourth of press for the 7 years. You know, the theory of life is a serious thing that children don't think about at that time, and the serious injuries that they put upon the friends and family and the children. I was there, I had to not pull the trigger. What happened was after we went working for, I was looking for a second, and the man in the morning had to close the truck. So I told him to turn around, and I turned around as I pulled up in front of their house. Brian started riding and told some guy, "We knew you," and pulled him over to the car and went to the vehicle. And we started fighting to the vehicle, and all of a sudden, shots started being heard as I put him right through and threw him down and started shooting. I didn't see him too much because as soon as I heard the first shot, I was like kind of ducking.
Statements that you were the one who did the shooting, and Mr. Lent Masters, states that you're the one who came and got his gun and borrowed his gun, and they subsequently found that his gun that was borrowed was the one that was actually used in the shooting. Okay, and so Mahoney was never charged with anything, is that right?
Yes, sir.
You were the only one that was charged?
Yes, sir.
First arrested on this offense, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you did, said that you kept your promise to your dad, graduated from high school, said that you become, but you did not become a product of your environment, and which means that you're not a racist, and that you have been wondering last why anyone who wanted to come there and get a better life for themselves. Is that right?
But she says,
So it says that in 1998, your brother Brian died, which is very hard for your family to handle. It was a lot harder in time for you. So how did that alter your life during that period of time in 1998 when your brother died, sir?
Well, my son, I had to take so much of education last season. When the girls go to high school, I was very good with late 2 or 5 actually, when I went to Google. So I wasn't afraid of children in the girls' school as I went to do. But when my father passed, my dad had to talk with me, and I was going to fight my parents on the mouth. And I started thinking about why and the time of my actions have affected everybody else. The children, the receiver, and the mother. When they're listening to that, I see it in pictures. And that's when I took socially personal for the day before us. But when I came to the room, and the other self, and said, for all the positive changes that I've been doing.
Says that for the last 2 years you've been working as a maintenance worker, which is a highly trusted position. You talked about earlier that you've taken some classes in maintenance. You have experience in electrical plumbing, HVAC. You've passed the EPA test. You've become certified. So you do have some things you can do in your release, is that right?
Yes, sir. Because when I made my choice, I decided to do everything I possibly could for one day to have the release, and I would be a success. And I'm going to be able to go to the doors of the business system, which I'm doing people work. This is my rehabilitation center. You don't even do it anymore. They're not in the classes, but when you get to the world, and look at our face order. I didn't want just the words, I wanted to make a change. I chose to rehabilitate myself, to make myself a better person, and want to help others at the same time. That's one of the reasons for what I'm doing.
Okay, Mr. Clay, I'm just going to go back to the information we have when this incident actually occurred, because it's a little bit relevant to me that you were convicted by a jury trial. You have 3 other people, one person say that you, the gun that was used in the murder and the shooting, that you're the one who got the gun from him, the gun belonged to him. Then you have 2 other women, one of them being your ex-girlfriend, along with another person that states that you were the one who actually did the shooting. We don't have all of the information, you know, there, but states that you were the one that did the shooting. And the only person that was convicted of any crimes by this incident was you, sir. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm sure there had to be some other evidence along with that that could have convicted them of that. But I would also state in the beginning, you said that you weren't the one who did the shooting. So I'm just a little bit confused about what has happened. I did read that the appeals that were actually made during that period of time, and it seems that everything was upheld during that time. Now, we weren't there, we're not here to retry the case, but you know, I am going over that information, and I will tell you that that's a little bit puzzling to me. However, I am going to see if the board has any additional questions for you at this time, sir.
Thank you. certain rules present to me too, is if I hold more than a program at the time, so I know the rights that, check the line, I was told that the officers told me there's a different versions, and so it's kind of, so we said what they wanted me to say. When I investigated, when I knew he came to visit me, I told him everything, and told him everything's so crazy, because you're not crazy, but you are not crazy. All this is, if I only had you case that's buried in the ambulance you could raise, you would have never been one step to the prison. When I came to visit my other person, I said, I offered to go to the hospital, I offered to say, you check my hands to see if I fired the gun. I told him I talked to him, but my parents were around, but they chose not to do that. When I went on, came to trial with investigators, they said they were going to just not test, put in my case whatsoever. And then the years later, they found out that there was a judge who tested for 3 months inside of the car. Now the car, in the police report, I think it was officer Detective Johnson said that this testimony was a little interior of the car, so the car was not happening at all. And the initial results of that judge scientist came, there was no residue on the inside of the car. So I'm just supposed to resume something.
Okay. All right, so see if the board has any additional questions. Let's see, Mr. Kendonis.
Yes, thank you. Just a few follow-ups. One second. Mr. Clay?
Yes, sir.
How did this application rise to the level that in your mind warranted killing people? Now you're saying that you weren't a shooter, I'm hearing you, we're not here to retry the case.
Yes, sir.
But how do you think it rose to the level of killing people?
It doesn't, sir. That I should have never. When I remember that for 1 second that when I was ever going to use a gun and I seen the gun inside, I would have stopped the car and told him to get out. I was not sure what would happen, and we couldn't even do it. And I'm truly sorry that it didn't happen. If I'm not sorry, it would have never occurred.
Well, sir, the other question I have is, and I think because they didn't write a note when you said someone visited you in the prison system and said that you weren't the shooter. Who was that individual?
When I was in general jail, it was general of the masters.
Okay. So what happened with Mr. Mahoney again?
What do you mean?
Did he end up facing charges?
No, sir.
But he was with you?
Yes, when he was in the medical, but he didn't really see any kind of charges whatsoever.
Did you have any prior arrests before this incident?
I was in June, I don't know what to do, but I was in June, but I settled for my community service.
What kind of charges were they?
They were crime. I had some crime charges. There were three burglars, three against burglars. And even then, there was an ambulance vehicle, and there was trucks going into the center of this vehicle. And we were not even in the parking lot. And as the girl came to the driver's side, I went over and asked her, hey, just come down there, there's a little bit of a cop's equipment. And that's when her and her two friends started attacking me. And I had to do 17 hours of community service for that. My good man's boss was there at the time.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
All right, the board have any additional questions? Dr. Ryan.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Johnson, and good morning, Mr. Clay. As you may recall, this is my third time having an opportunity of talking with you, and perhaps may have raised these questions before. I just want to make sure I understand, based on what's been said this morning, not what was said at other times, and as already been indicated, of course, we cannot retry, that's not the purpose of this board, to retry the case, but let me just see if you can kind of clarify something based on what's been said this morning. Now, as it relates to the gun itself, your co-defendant apparently did not admit that he had provided you with the gun, so how did you end up with the gun? Or did you have the gun? I'm trying to figure out, did you actually have the gun in your possession when this took place, or someone else had it, sir?
After the shooting of the gun, the gun was that I was taken off. I went down the road, and as soon as I was off the road, I reached out and grabbed the gun from Brian, and I took it from Brian. And then when I got back down to the bench, the gun became a booby trap gun. So I went to Jennifer and I told him this after the gun, and he says, yes, and I gave it to him.
So I just want to make sure that I understand. I'm kind of repeating in my own way what you just said, that after the incident had taken place, after the shots had been fired, the co-defendant had the gun, he had done the shooting, but you took the gun from him, and that's how it ended up in your possession at some point. Did I hear that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Why did you take the gun from him, sir, may I ask? I know you were 17, and I know that how emotions can happen, but I'm just curious, how did it end up, you ended up with it in your possession, sir?
Well, I was raised by the responsibility of the veterans, and when he fired the gun, I was confused, but when I looked in and I see my gun still there, so I went out and took it from him, so
now, once again, just for my information, and you've already told the board this, and you told the board this in the past. Now, what was your relationship with your co-defendants there? One was your girlfriend, the other one was what, a friend? Who were these people that you were hanging out with, sir?
One of them was a high school friend. And we just sort of figured out, I had a video, and I was driving everywhere around the world, and we stopped doing game things, and everything things were done. The one time he talked to me, we went down to this car show, the past camp around the primary reserve, and he asked me if he could take his place, and I said, sure, I put it back in my vehicle, and we went down there. Long story short, he got arrested for having stolen Jesse, and I had no idea it was stolen Jesse on his name. This was my so-called friend. My dad told me he was covered, and when we were checking out my rooms, I didn't see it that way. And so I said, I'm not open. I just wanted to fit in to be part of the group card, I suppose.
So the night of the offense, or the day of the offense, it was actually your vehicle that y'all were traveling in. So am I correct? Did I hear that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Brian was always asking me to take him places. Brian was always worried, and I was just an infamous by a girl. And it was just with a conscience, so to speak, and it was just easy to write.
So Bart was your high school friend. I use the word friend, which may not be the correct terminology, but the two of you in high school together, was he kind of the dominant person? Did he kind of dominate you, and you felt obligated to kind of do whatever he wanted to do, like to drive him or whatever? Was that the case, sir?
What he meant was, sir, was I was easily influenced by him.
But y'all are about the same age, though, am I correct, sir?
I think he's a little older than me.
Okay. Let me just ask a couple other questions, and I guess the other question, and I'm going to raise this one simply because you raised it, and simply because it is in the names. Were you ever a member of STG? And I raise that because you mentioned racism, and I also note that in the names is also alluded to an STG, sir. Were you ever a part of that politically while you were incarcerated, sir?
Yes, sir. When the first time we were in prison, people were panic on me. It's not that even in high school, except for there was more violence in the prison system. And then when I was being some other group that stepped up and said, hey, we need you to get your bags, you know, you know, you're okay. And then we start hearing the answers of people in New Jersey putting that same race. But I got a lot of STG, injured STG, I don't know, I was over 300, and most of them have been done since 1999. Involved in politics, they were devising an escalation which didn't happen on the yard because people don't know how to communicate with each other. But I would go out there and try to calm everybody down and just to make sure we're not the best to make sure everybody else in the yard because these two people can't get along. And that's where my mentorship comes into play, is where I can work outside the box. They're trying to help these guys understand that when they were at risk, it was a separation.
You know, this
has to be
done. Okay, sir. Now, let me just ask this question, sir. And you don't have to answer this one, but I think it's already been answered, but I just want to ask again. Are you currently appealing your conviction? Is there an appeal process at the moment, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is this the first time that you appeal, or this is a continuing situation, sir?
This is a continuing issue. It's a similar story because I was a juvenile at the time. Excessive sentencing for juveniles at the time for juveniles.
Thank you so much, Mr. Clay. Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson.
So, okay, Mr. Gonzalez.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Clay, I had one follow-up question.
Yes, sir.
Just for it to be straight in my mind. As far as being in a vehicle and going to the victim's house, you were in that vehicle?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was driving.
Okay. My question is this. Now, I'm respecting, again, that we're not trying the case that you had an appeal. And I was touching upon this when I spoke to you earlier, but I didn't quite ask the question. And that is, if you were driving, and am I correct in understanding that you didn't know that Mr. Mahoney had a gun?
Well, I didn't have a gun in his lap. As a time when I got in, I was looking for a Samuel, and he mentioned that there was a truck. I didn't have a gun in his lap, yes.
Okay. What was the aim of chasing him down? What were you going to do?
I was looking for the guys.
Go ahead, sir.
I was looking for the guys in Samuel because they tried running me over, and I was in that sleep a lot and tried running me over. And at the time in my life, I was going to fire when I was in the federal court.
I didn't hear your last statement, sir.
I was looking for a constant symbol because I was in the federal court because they tried to run me over.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So Samuel, that request is coming from the bottom. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Clay, you're going through here, so what you're saying is that Mr. McMaster lied about giving you the gun?
Yes, sir. Yes, he did.
Okay. And in another place, you say you stayed in the building with Logan, but if you were carrying a gun out there like that on the beach, I would imagine that you would all run there all the way.
All of a sudden, I heard the news. Everybody else was in the truck, and they were all sharing the news. He had a gun in his car. Looking out for his own little mom. I know I say it right here, but I'm not trying to afford an instance. Because I was there, and I gave them the first
time. Okay, we're not trying to reach out. We're just trying to get the information we have straight in our minds so that we understand what you're saying capital versus what we need, but we need to rely on the pre-sentence report primarily. And so, that, you know, if we don't have a trial, then we don't have a pre-sentence report, we have a pre-sentence report. But after the trial, after you've been breaking, before you're asking the sentence, those report is ready. Okay? All right, thank you, sir.
All right, sir, seeing no other questions coming from the board, we're going to go to folks who are supporting this here. With us, you have the woman to deal with, Mrs. Patrice Clay. If you want to come up to the mic, please just state your full name and then present the information to the board.
Hi, my name is Beatrice Clay. I am Wayne Clay's mother. Excuse me. I might be able to answer a few of your questions, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
You was wondering why the other two, like McMasters and Mahoney and the girl, Cindy, why they would try and say something that Wade's saying different of. Well, number one, Brian Mahoney is a very manipulative, if I'm saying it right, person. He has to have a power over you. I didn't realize all of this when my son started hanging with him in school. All I knew is that this friend that he met, Brian Mahoney, he has no place to live. His parents won't let him live with them. He shoved him from place to place. My heart fell to this person. My son started hanging with him. I wish I could have checked into it further with an officer that we knew. Come to find out, when all of this came down, we couldn't get a public defender for my son in Mojave County because Brian Mahoney had used all of them since he was 7 years old. So we had to go hire a lawyer. Okay, that was one question. I forgot what the other ones were. As far as their trial, I wasn't in the courtroom very often because they used me as a hostile witness. All I know is I hired an investigator to find out why the jury came down with a guilty verdict. And a few of them had the answer of, well, he's on trial. If he's on trial, he's guilty. Now, I'm not going to change the subject any, but when I was in Kingman a few months ago to go over jury duty, this question came from the public defender. He said, because the person is on trial, you cannot assume that they are guilty. And I'm sitting here shaking my head, yes. That is correct, because I went through this with my son. I know if you were guilty of something, you would take the plea bargain, which was 15 years hard. If he was guilty, he would have taken it. But he's fighting because he knows he didn't do it. I don't think that any one of you on the board or anybody else would say they're guilty of doing something when you really didn't. He hasn't changed his story the whole time. He's lost his brother. He's lost his father. And the parents lost their father, and he had me for your son. I am so sorry for all of this. My heart bleeds for you. But as part of their trial, no, he didn't get one. You had Divine McMasters is what I call him. He changed his story because a detective went to him and told him he was going to get a 5-year sentence. Not only did this happen one time, this happened with another guy that was at the party. And the same detective went to him and told him, we're going to put you in jail, incarcerate you for a time if you don't say this. Mahoney County, I'm sorry to say, but I had some high officials call me and tell me, be very careful. Because there was 7 dirty cops
doing this. I went to jail. I went to jail for the first time in my life for 24 hours so they could come in my home. Turn it upside down. Who was your enemy? And listen to what they happened. Yet my homie is there. The shooter. He would get 1 minute. My homie is the one who went into hiding. The cops knew where he was. The cops came to my house and changed my son's right away. So, I'm angry about all of this because I lived it for 27 years. Just like my clothes. And I'm going to keep fighting until I die. To show me he's not guilty. Yes, he did not grab a guy that was going to run down. And yes, I believe him because your purpose is going to go try and fight you. I taught my kids. You do not have a weapon. I'm here to walk, stick, money, whatever. You take those weapons away and you beat me with this. If you don't want to fight, you fight me with this. Nobody does. And to this day, I believe it. When I went to see him the first time in prison, I said, Wayne, whatever you did, do not give attention. He says, you will be coming out. You will be tattoos on your face, on your neck. Not if everybody else is in prison. I'm not sure if you all have ever seen it, but I'm sure. I'm sure now. But, you know, to this day, his word has been gold. He hasn't seen any tattoos on him whatsoever. So to me, if him telling me he could not do this, I believe him. 27 years, no tattoos. I know the police department, that the area of the 7 were, they stole stuff out of my house. They said they do. I have eyewitnesses. But they're wrong for that. But I don't care about that. But to have them go to the people and tell them, we're going to put you away if you don't say this. That's wrong. Just so they can have a notch on their belt. And that's what my whole beginning was. Get notches. I'm sorry I took up so much of your time. But thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Ms. Curry, I just want to ask you one question, because in the pre-sentence report, it says that you was arrested for hindering prosecution. Is that what you're referring to, that you went to jail for
25? You know, that's a good question. They gave me 7 different charges, and one that has stayed in my head was I was already a fugitive.
Okay.
Now, to me, a fugitive is somebody that's on the run, has been arrested. That's a fugitive. Once I hadn't been arrested yet, they wanted me in my house. I let them come in when they came, you know, to get my son. I never stopped him. I let them come in. I let them search. I showed them all the weapons we have. There's nothing we were allowed to touch. There was no prevailing in the sentences. But they went through, and yet they still came in with search warrants and flipped my house upside down because they knew my husband was at work. They wanted me out of the way so they could go through. I had no problem. I had nothing to hide.
Hey, because it actually says that in here that you were arrested for hindering
the prosecution.
Right, that you told the officers that your son had never left the home that evening. It was the next day after the shooting. But you told the officers, and here it just says that you told the officers that your son had never left home that evening. That's why they did the hindering prosecution. Okay.
But I was at home. I was sewing and watching TV in front of the TV I was sewing. My husband got called to work. My son had already asked me to go to the river for a party. Okay, that he had to make sure things were taken care of, you know, around the house, his chores. They knew this, the officers. My son, once he came home that evening, he had left the house.
Okay.
So maybe there was a misunderstanding there.
Okay, all right, that's, I'm just sitting here at what it says in the pre-sentence report about they arrested you for him and prosecution, because the corporate officers that you signed never left on that evening, so that couldn't be.
Well, I tell you what, I can find those papers, because I'm sure I'll be in the streets and folks. But that's something I would like to see, because I knew there was a lot of charges against me.
Okay.
And I know that, I have a newspaper article, I was at the scene, the crime scene. And I hadn't even left my house, I never even knew anything going on. Yeah, I'm a guilty person. But yet, the one which, an accessory to me is what my son did, and that the criminal, what he did shooting. So, you know, to me, an accessory also goes to jail. But so does the shooter, the one that's doing the actual crime. But yet, this didn't happen. Mommy. I went to jail, which was interesting for the first time ever, but yes.
I don't think the board has any additional questions. Mr. Kenyon?
Just a follow-up question. And ma'am, let me begin by saying that I have zero needs for police corruption. Mm-hmm. Did anything come of your allegations that there were corrupt police officers in Warren County?
No, when I first found out, when I was told that there were seven corrupt ones, which I had heard throughout, you know, this long area, that these people were corrupt. Of course, this is my first time ever having to deal with it. I was told by a judicial system in Raleigh County that these seven were bad cops. Back to the question I already forgot. I heard that they like to threaten you. They to get you to say what they want to hear. I heard that he went to McLaren's, which is all he was saying to me, which they would check your mind. How can Jeff Devine say that William shot the gun when Jeff Devine was not in the mayor? It's what you say. To me, it was for the court of question as genius. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I appreciate it. I just, often times in the wake of incidents like this, when there's some sort of outcry about police corruption or misconduct, there's other jurisdictions or over jurisdictions, and I wasn't sure if there was any follow-up investigation by the federal criminal investigation or a higher jurisdiction about police corruption in Mohawk County.
Not that I'm aware of, but I know different locations. That stuff came out missing when those same officers had been to their houses, somebody else's houses. Now, when I went to court for my hearing, I did hear the two officers say to each other while I'm in shackles, waiting to go before the judge, you know, I don't know why she's even here. We don't have nothing on her. But there were these men. Who's going to blame me? Right?
Well, you were found guilty, though.
Oh, no, I wasn't found guilty. I can't remember the name of the word that they use, Alfredo, or for some reason that's always stuck in my mind. I had a deal for me. I was 1 year on supervised probation. And it was supposed to take a record.
Thank you.
Just a really quick question. Forgive me, Ms. Craig, for asking, and you may not have an answer because your answer is probably just guessing like I am. I'm trying to understand why, and in my mind, why the officers, and I'm not taking sides on this one with the officers, but why did the officers come after you and your son and not Mr. McMaster, since Mr. McMaster apparently had the run-in with the law in the past? Why did you all get to...
No, that was Mahoney. That was
Mahoney, okay.
The run-in with the law.
Okay, so, but how did why did they come after you and your son rather than anyone else, I guess is what I'm trying to get at, ma'am.
Well, I really don't know the answer. I'm giving my opinion.
is somebody must have saw my son's car at the scene of the crime. And so how easy or is it to have them come and, you know, check all that? I was cooperative, but I really didn't think he was wanting to come in and go through. They got to come in my house before any arrest was ever made. I let them come in. They saw what I had. And of course, we had, you know, more than that, guns and stuff. So maybe this drew their attention. I had a safe, which they didn't confiscate that. I don't know. But I do know one friend when my oldest son was, he was a victim staffer, and when he came home, the detectives that I'm seeing were coming out the house. And, you know, the man, he would lock his van up, and then he'd come back with bushes. I look out the front window, they would walk up to the van, hit the van, maybe around the wall, turn back around, give my car, nothing. But this went on and on and on. And finally, I got a little lady's story and told them, you need to get home to the judge and tell him, this piece of stuff, this is harassment. So, and I'm like you. I don't hate officers of the law. I grew up with them. I grew up in the middle of the world with highway patrolmen and officers. So I don't have that hate. I don't have that hate for anybody. So.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Ms. Baker. Okay, I do know that we have some victim witnesses on the telephone. I'm going to go to them at this time. Mr. Allen McLaurin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, could you just please state your name and present the information that you'd like to present to the board at this time, sir?
Yes, sir. It's Allen McLaurin. I'm having a little trouble hearing a little bit, but are you asking a question at this moment?
No, sir. I just wanted you to...
Or am I supposed to make a statement?
Yes, sir. I was just waiting on you to make the statement. I wanted you to just state your name, sir, and then go ahead and present the information that you'd like to present to the board, sir.
Okay. My name is Allen McLaurin. I'm a victim of this. Lost my father in this. This is the first time that I've not been there in person, and I hope it carries a little weight. I do promise that I'll be there next year, and there'll be a few others. To enlighten some stuff, I'd much rather be there in person, but I could probably give you a little insight and clarity of why Wade was coming towards me, coming after me. And Brian, you know, as he jumped in the back of my truck as we drove away. So I do feel that Wade is in denial for this because of everything been going on. And I feel that hopefully the board does not make the right decision on this. And basically, that's all I have for at this point until see what happens next year. But I'll definitely be there, and I believe there's going to be a few others.
Okay, so you were there when this incident actually occurred, is that right?
Yes, I was there.
If you don't mind, sir, could you just tell this board in your opinion what occurred when this shooting actually took place?
Sure. So I actually walked up to the car, I believe Wade's car, because when I called 911, I described the car. But when I walked up to it, I walked up to the passenger side. That's when Brian Mahoney grabbed me, and that is when I heard my father tell me he's got a gun, which I ripped the leg from Brian and ran away, and that's when I gotten shot in the back, and did not know at that point that my dad had also gotten shot. So at that point, ran into the house, this is before cell phones basically, and called 911.
Okay. Did you see where the shots came from, sir?
No, I did not. All I know is Brian Mahoney had me with his hands on my shirt, and my shirt was like, they got torn trying to get away from him. So, the best way to describe it is someone had two hands on you trying to, get you basically, because I didn't know either one of them from Adam, but I do know that Wade was on it. Actually, I've never even seen him before then, but he was on an ATV with his girlfriend, and I literally was walking over to him. So I don't know if that was, what caused this. There was a lot of stuff that happened in a short amount of time. With the stand rail, with the dog, everything else. I feel that he's in denial for this, and I hope the panel makes the same judgment.
Okay, sir. I'm gonna see if the board has any additional question for you, sir.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I want to see if the board had any additional question for you. Mr. Mills had a question for you, sir.
You said that when your dad yelled when you had a gun, that you took a gun away from Mahoney?
Mahoney had a hold of me at that point.
Oh, okay, so you didn't, I'm sorry, I thought I heard you say that you took it. When you had a gun, Mahoney had a gun and you took it away from you?
No, Mahoney had both his hands on my shirt.
Okay.
Pulled me towards the car.
Was he
literally just walked up to the car, not knowing. I thought it was somebody asking directions.
Okay, so was he ready? He was still in the car?
Yes, both of them. Yes.
And that's when the first shots rang out?
When my father said he's got a gun, at that point, it did happen very quickly. I ripped away from him. So as I ripped away, at that point, things happened quickly. There was gunshots after gunshots going off.
Okay.
So do I know that there was gunshots prior to this, before Brian got a hold of me? It was simultaneous. It was at the same time that my dad, that Brian had me, that my dad said he's got a gun.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Kinnaman.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Sir, can you hear me?
I can.
Hold on.
It's not perfectly clear, but I can hear you.
Sometimes a little blocked here. Can you hear me better now? Sir,
I'm sorry, what?
Can you hear me better now?
I can.
I'm just asking you, as a victim, are you satisfied that Mr. Clay was the shooter in this case?
Most definitely.
It was just a simple question. Thank you, sir.
Okay, seeing no further questions from the board, I am going to go to Ms. Valmine at this time. Ms. McLaurin?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, could you just please state your name and present the information that you'd like to present to the board at this time, please?
Well, I apologize, I'm not there today. I have a new job and I couldn't attend today. And I'm definitely going to be there next year. I can't hear whatever Wade is saying. It's baffled so I didn't hear anything he had said on this hearing today. And so I did write a letter in for the board to read. And again, I'm sorry I couldn't be there today. I wish I was. And I feel that Clay, Wade Clay, is still whining. And I hope that the board doesn't put him on to my brother sentencing next. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Since the board has no additional questions, thank you. We're going to continue on with the hearing. I'm going to go to Mr. Weinberg. Sir, I don't know if you had any statements you made. I was informed that you didn't have any statements that you wanted to just participate in the hearing. However, is there anything that you'd like to present to the board, sir?
Yeah, I do have just a very brief statement, and thank you for having me. My name is Reed Weisberg, W-E-I-S-B-E-R-G. I'm a deputy county attorney with the Mojave County Attorney's Office. Now, I had learned about this setting and this hearing fairly recently, and when asked if I wanted to make a form of appearance here today, my initial reaction was absolutely, of course I do. Our office, we care deeply about what happened in this case when we initially prosecuted it all those years ago, and certainly we still care about it today. Now, with that all being said, Mr. Clay's case, as you guys have alluded to, Mr. Clay's case is in an ongoing appeals process, and as I am the attorney working on this appeal on behalf of the state, and that appeal is still ongoing, I do think now that it is best that I limit my participation here today accordingly and any statements that I may make. With that being said, though, I do offer my full-fledged support for the victims in this case, and we do, as an office, still take a very keen interest in the ongoings of this case. But that is essentially what I'm going to limit my participation to today.
Okay, so thank you. Is there any questions on behalf of the board? Since there's no questions on the board, the three of you can stay on the phone. We are going to continue the hearing at this time. Mr. Clay, the board is coming up on the conclusion of your hearing, sir, getting ready to go into discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to present to the board, sir, that has not been presented before without repeating yourself?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to prove my innocence to where I was a shooter or not. That's in the past. I'm trying to move forward and see there's a better future. And I'm truly sorry for the opponent's loss and the pain that was inflicted upon Mr. Allen. I'm truly heartfelt and grateful for what happened. And if I can get back, I will change my heartbeat. I wish my life were here to help the others to go with themselves. And if Mr. Allen is part of it, it's really upon the Mohawk and Sundays. So that when he says something like that, I'm not going to be around about if I don't go to the junior, I will assign the team by the heartbeat. All I'm trying to do is kind of spend as enough time. I've been 27 years. I've been in the government of the business society helping others who are going to make themselves so many of the ones that can help us and the citizens and not have a new victims are built based off of their means. And all I'm trying to do is move forward to a better future and move on to spend some time with my family and that kind of violence in here. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Clay, I'm going to ask you to stay on the phone. The board's going to go into discussion, sir. While we're in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so that you can hear the discussion taking place. And then the board will make a decision whether to paroling to the national executive sentence or to grant you an absolute discharge at this time. So please stay on the line. The board is now in the discussion. Please remain silent while the board is in discussion. This is a case I do want to acknowledge that Mr. Clay has been productive since he's been incarcerated, that he has taken some programming, that he is working, he's doing some construction, he does have a good release plan and the probability of working because he's taking some training and doing some maintenance work while he's incarcerated there in prison. He was a 17-year-old young man when this incident occurred. He has actually been incarcerated his entire adult life since this incident occurred. I think he's about 45, 47 years old. At this time, we've all had the opportunity to review this case and go over it. We do have some decisions that we have to make. One of those decisions that we have to make is that the person that's released will not likely reoffend with the threat or danger to the community about it. If they're released, this is the incident that occurred where there was a homicide and a shooting of one victim who apparently was at least one of them. They didn't have a shot to the back, which means that they were running away, you know, at the time that this incident actually occurred. Mr. Clay has denied from the beginning that he was the one who actually did the shooting. The shooting happened at about 10:17 or 10:15 at night on September 21st. And it was the next day, the 22nd, when Mr. Jeff McMaster, as well as Mr. Brian Mahoney, were actually interviewed, along with, I believe, named Cindy, the ex-girlfriend, were all interviewed. They all indicated that Mr. Clay was the actual shooter, and the victim who was shot in the back as he was running away, Mr. Allen McLaurin, states that Mr. Clay was also the shooter too. I'm just having some issues and feeling as though, you know, although there's some great things that's happened since he's been incarcerated, he's doing some very productive things since he's been incarcerated. I think that that it would be in the best interest of the community or the welfare and safety of the community at this time, based on all of the information that Mr. Clay be released on absolute discharge of regular parole to his next consecutive sentence. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues at this time. Seeing no questions coming from my colleagues, that I am going to make a motion to deny absolute discharge or parole to the next consecutive sentence for Mr. Clay at this time. So that would be my motion. Second.
I agree.
Agree.
Okay, the motion was by myself, second by Mr. Quinones. Agree, Dr. Wright. Agree, Mr. Neal. And agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Clay?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to deny regular parole or absolute discharge to you at this time. I am going to ask for a 1 year set-off as a bunch of bond funds when this incident actually occurred. The reason for denial, I want to mark a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm a mild farmer to the victim. You know, one of the victims did actually lose his father, serious bodily injury, and multiple victims.
Thank you.
this incident occurred, so I don't know, and that would use criminal history. He did have a minimal amount of that he's been at some type of points, the incarceration, and then he did have a program, and so he did have a release plan. So, Mr. Clare?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board voted to deny, as I told you, that you have a one-year setup, that in a year that the Department of Corrections will certify you eligible to come back before this board, sir. Did you hear the reason for denial, sir?
Yes, sir. There's reasons.
Sir, I also want to thank the slaves for coming down and participate. I want to thank all those who are on the line for participating in the hearing. We will be hanging up the phone at this time. That is going to conclude the hearing at this time. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you.